Our scripture this morning is 2 Kings, the second chapter. 2 Kings, second chapter. And as you move yourself toward it in your paper Bible or your digital Bible, you'll notice, or if you're just listening, a certain personal claustrophobic nature of the text. We're sneaking in on a conversation that is happening between Elijah and Elisha. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan, the deep river." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two went on. 50 of the company of prophets went, stood at some distance from them. As they both were standing by the Jordan, Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I'm being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses separated the two of them. Elijah ascended into a whirlwind into heaven. Elijah kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he had struck the water was parted to one side and to the other. And Elisha went over. The word of God for the people of God. My grandmother would sing, "If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Where would I be?" That's my vibrato. Thinking of how blessed I am, that's my bravado. God is so good, that's my staccato. People say I should be dead, but you not, so get living, because things move quicker than avocados. From not ready to not edible, small window, and systems exploit us, try to keep us in limbo. People don't love us, never let us crescendo. Turn women to widows, stones for our pillows. Help for the seed inside us to never stop. Because we throw that away. You don't put that in the guac. What I'm supposed to do with it? If I bite it, then it hurts. If I throw it, I might lose it. I might wind up in a hearse. If I say it, they don't listen, so I wear it on a shirt. In the mirror, see myself, but everybody else alert. So I'm gonna need to somebody to go with me, invite them to all the dark places to roll with me and light up. And when I say leave, I need them to say nah, cuz here no matter what, cuz that's what an ally does. Look at Elisha. The scripture that I just read describes the young man talking to the old man, following him in his final moments. And what the old man wants to say, no, he says it right there. He says, stay here, Elisha, because God has called me all the way out there, and I don't want you to have to go any further than you need to go. And what we know about the prophets, as the old man was, we learn from Abraham Heschel, who was one of the most respected and attuned voices to Jewish life. What he says is that the prophet was an intensely passionate man, sometimes called erratic, crazy. That's how they describe the prophets in the Bible, right? Wild, locust, honey, you know, right? Like, all erratic and mad, but was really passionate. Passionate to such a degree that being placid was impossible. And his inner state, Heschel says, was manifested in his utterances, a state not limited to some moments, but affecting all of his existence. The prophets, in other words, had more in common physically, if you think about them, as a person with epilepsy, is what I'm saying, with the disabled community, a prophet could identify a little bit more than the rulers of the nation. That is to say, there was a social expectation that the prophets spent most of their time alone. In fact, the prophet being alone rose not only out of a certain misguided understanding of the prophet's mental state, but also out of an understanding that there was virtue in being alone, not a pathology, but a virtue. Is it not true, Heschel asks, that the superior instants of a lifetime occur when the soul is alone? So it's not surprising then that Elijah, knowing that it was time for him to die, would send Elisha off so that he could die alone. That shouldn't surprise us. That was the fate of all the prophets: misunderstood, mistreated, misshapen, in all other ways missed by society, to die alone. Now they might have had an occasion to remember the prophets on a feast day or something, but more than anything else, these vaulted figures and our reception of them lived alone, worked alone, and died alone, having manifested an inner turmoil inside of them, and finally an inner acceptance of what was happening inside of them, manifested in such a way that their lives confused other people. I'm not talking about the queer community. I'm talking about prophets. It is not confusing that Elijah, after all of this, now the this is another sermon, that, the this is the story of Jezebel, the slaying of the prophets of Baal, the final, I don't know about that, establishing of radical monotheism, you know, this fight, all this that Elijah has had to do, after all of this, you might want a little help, right? I've never gone up two flights of stairs with groceries and refused help on the third flight. Never. I go up two flights, I'm sweating, especially in this weather. You want to help me with the third? Yes, here you go. You take this, Elijah, right? To say, I don't want your help. No, I need your help. But if you were to say, I'll help you, but I'll carry your bags like this, I'll drag them on the ground so that the bag hits each step on the way up. I'm like, Mom, bananas are in that bag. I don't need that love. I don't need you to love me and help me in that way. You ever had somebody try to help you? I had a friend once who said, yeah, I'll help you move. Now listen, helping people move is, I know people say, like, giving your life for a friend is the thing, the greatest sacrifice. The Bible might say that or something, I don't know. It's not true, though. The worst thing you can do, the greatest thing you can do for another human being is help them move. That's the greatest thing you can do. You can do nothing greater than help them move. And so I have a friend who says, listen, I love you. I want to help you. I got you. I got your back. And he came over 5 minutes later. Let me get some water. 5 minutes later, man, you ain't got no food in here? Man, Jillian, you need to repack these boxes. These boxes are a little tough for me. Fam, I did not ask you to help me move. You said you wanted to help me move. You offered. Pick up the box. I told you I had a friend once, past tense, had a friend. I don't need that love. If that's how you're going to help me, yeah, I need a loan. I don't need it at 25, 26%. Who's serving who in that situation? Yes, immigrants want opportunity in this country, not at the cost of keeping their family out. Yes, we should be allies in the LGBT movement for the recognition, the protection of bodies, not if we're not going to affirm their full humanity. The call is to be allies without asterisks. The asterisks of, you know, I'm cool with you long as you never hit on me. I'm from the hip-hop community, all right? You can't be gay in hip-hop. And everybody who tries to pretend they cool, they say, yeah, no, it's cool long as nobody ever, long as they don't run up on me with that, right? The asterisk of, I have gay people in my family, but we never talk about it. The asterisk of off limits. You know, some conversations are off limits. We not going there. I'm an ally in the gay movement as long as we ain't ever got to talk about you being gay. Huh? The church spaces where asterisks of support have said you good enough to sing, but you not good enough to preach. The asterisk of I love you, and I love you because God loves all sinners, and I'm a sinner too. Fam, what? I don't need your love. The conversion groups, the outcasting, the dissecting people in their fullness to only accept parts of them. You are welcome, but not your sexuality. Most of the support of non-queer people comes with an asterisk. If we're just honest about it. We don't even take the time to figure out what it all stands for. People, I got friends of mine that say LGBT, whatever, man. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer or questioning, asexual, pansexual. Most people are like, whatever, I love you, whatever. And it took a while to get there, even to get to that point. It probably took you a long time, didn't it? Or family members, a long time to even get to that point. But what we have to understand is that even saying whatever is an asterisk. Oh, it's whatever. You can't whatever my blackness. You can't love me without loving my blackness because my blackness is a part of me. We can't separate it. We can't say, oh, I love them, but that pride parade is weird. No, that parade is Coogee Chagalia. It's self-determination. It is the right to name and define and to be who you are in your space and to create that space. I might be on the outside of that, but that's dope to me. To not say, hey, you have my support except for. No, because then we become the friends of Job. Y'all know about the friends of Job? You got to read Job one day. I love Job. He has all this taken from him. And in this wonderful gesture, his friends come to mourn with him, to support him, to help him. But all they can think to say to Job is, Job, what you do wrong? Well, Job, it must have been this. Now, you must have done this, or something must have happened here. This must be the reason. Now, Job, what you need to do is this, what you need to do. What you need to do. You have some friends. You got some what you need to do friends? Yeah, who always want to tell you what you need to do? Listen, what you need to do is to shut up and sit with your friend. Be with him. Non-judgmental support is support without an asterisk. This is what, if you got someone close to you in an abusive relationship, an addiction, what they need is your non-judgmental support and your curiosity. I've learned a lot from my queer kinfolk. Learned that I wasn't welcome in all gay clubs. Yeah, it's a safe space for them. This needs to be kept holy. Some of them, everybody can go to, but some of them, You don't need to be here. Some of these are by invitation only. This sounds like the black church too, don't it? They're sharing stories and lifting up people's lives instead of slapping a rainbow flag on it and calling it support. It ain't support because you're wearing different colors. That's just a dope multicolored shirt. That's all it is. But to share stories, to lift up people's lives. Taylor Swift just released a video this week and got in a huge amount of trouble. The song was called You Need to Calm Down. And the video was using all this queer imagery, and it set the queer community ablaze, as Anna Valenz wrote, because it's selling queer imagery without lifting up queer issues. They don't need that love. That's not the love they need. That's why we have been happy to share this pulpit with queer and transgender folk this month, River and D'Angelo and Tisha and Darren, not so that we could congratulate ourselves for being open and affirming, but so we could learn from them. So wisdom from queer theology could inform our lives, not for June, but moving forward. So we could take up their mantle when they left us. Tomorrow, in July, when you don't have to have the rainbow up anymore, and the parade's all done, but are we still there? Because being an ally sometimes means seeding the floor. That's why they preach here. Sometimes it means moving out the way and saying, you teach us. It means being led by those that are the most effective. How can I support you? Not I will join your community or you will join my community, but we are part of the same community, church. It's the same community. When are we going to realize this instead of me guessing what you need? Tell me what you need. Materially, spiritually, socially, economically. That is the role of allies in this world. Whatever the issue is, tell me what you need. Very rarely when someone close to us comes out, do we say these things. Very rarely do we sense a shared humanity with them. It almost becomes like someone told you they were an alien. They told you they were weird. Very rarely do prophets do anything but die alone. But if we can pay more attention to Elisha and his response to the normal paces of a prophet's suffering, no, I'll go with you to Bethel, the place where Jacob dreamed and thought in many Jewish circles as a location of transformation. To that place, I will go with you. To Gilgal, the place of recommitment where the Israelites got circumcised again, twice. Two circumcisions, y'all, to that place. Many people won't go to the place of pain with folks. They don't do that. You go to the place of pain. I'll be back here like the other prophets at a distance. But no, to that place where Elijah must go, Elijah has to go. It comes with his decision to be who he truly is. God has sent him there, but Elisha doesn't have to go there. And many people don't. And Elijah, knowing this, said, you can stay here if you want to. I still love you. But Elisha will not settle at a rainbow flag. To Jericho, where the fight is, where walls come down. Stay, Elisha, stay. This is mine to do. No, I'll go with you. That's what allies do. To the Jordan, the dividing point between struggle and promised land. These places were named on purpose in this scripture, y'all. It happened on purpose to show that Elisha was willing to go with Elijah to the point of liberation. All the way to liberation. And there, at the point, there he saw God. There he became who he was called to be. When Elisha said, I will go with you as far as we need to go, Elijah was enduring something that Elisha could have never understood. But he didn't need to understand in order to go with Elijah. The longer he stayed, the more he understood. This is about being on our own pilgrimage and going with people on theirs. Anybody on a pilgrimage right now? To be on our own and to go with people and theirs responsibly, ethically, lovingly. That the queer community often endures horrific realities. Y'all, there's almost nowhere on the south side of Chicago for a young gay black man to go and be safe. There's almost nowhere. And they have to go and go north where there are more services, where then they're told by the police they are not welcome in those communities. But he should not have to endure that alone, that young black boy. Or the young transgender person being bullied online. They should not have to endure that alone. A decision to be an ally in the movement for sexual wholeness has to be more than simply saying, hey, you won't get no problems out of me. I won't cause any problems is not enough. But to ask as a community, what does it mean for us to be in right relationship with those that our tradition has pushed out and hurt and even cursed? What does it mean for us to be in right relationship? What does it mean to be now, to be with them? Not merely as one welcoming and open and affirming, but to be nonviolent, to be anti-violent. Not to fetishize queer people, but to humanize them. To look in our personal relationships and ask, does my support of them have asterisks? When I found out, did I truly treat them the same as myself? Did I love them like I love myself as Jesus commanded? Or did I love them as one loves a stray cat with pity? With power we weren't willing to lose in that relationship. Did I love them with asterisks? Part of the work is to get rid of the asterisks in our commitment to queer people. Amen? What you see in Elisha is someone who is willing to press to stay with. If you are dying, if you are struggling, if you are going to the painful place, let it not be alone. And that as queer people face uncertainty and vulnerability, we go on that journey with them as we are invited by them and not on our own. Amen? As we are invited by them, not as judges, but as allies. That the shooting of a nightclub in Orlando is our business. That's our business. The suicide of a transgender teen is our business, church. The bullying is our business. The anger, the hope, the passion, the issues, they aren't crazy. They're prophets in a mad world. Expecting to fight their fights alone, ready to fight their fights all by themselves, expecting to die alone. So let's disappoint our queer kinfolk, church, with the kind of blessed disappointment that can only come when God's people betray the status quo and commit to a life more loving. Life more... You're watching me struggle. See, I don't want to use the word inclusive. See, inclusive means we let them in our circle. That's not, I need another word. Y'all got to, let's find it. Somebody let me know. A life that destroys the us and the them, because that is not what the beloved kingdom of God is. Not here. Less dying alone. Less, that's they struggle. That's they thing. I got my own stuff. Less dying alone and more Elisha's. More, if God will have me to go with you, I'll go. More allies, less asterisks. Amen.